Hey everyone, thanks so much for joining Laura and I on our next podcast, where we're actually going to talk about why digital content is important for your customer journey. And we also have a guest appearance. John Void, co-founder and CEO of Agility, will actually be joining us too. So make sure you tune in and keep watching.
Yeah, definitely. I'm excited to chat with John.
Yeah, that'll be really good.
Yeah.
So let's face it, content is everywhere, whether we're consuming it on social media or reading it in an article. The way people need to consume content is achievable in many ways. So why don't we start with, Laura, what would you say is the biggest reason people have to think about their content as a journey?
Yeah, it's important to think about content as a journey because I think, first of all, it's a really nice idea to think that you can convert a customer within one piece of content, but I really don't think that happens.
Yeah.
I think that, what do they say? Like, there's an average of like 5 to 6 touch points that a customer makes with a brand before they even like reach out or make a purchase or stuff like that. So we kind of have to think about that in the way that we're presenting content. And also, we're not consumers that are just sitting there for information to come to us. Like, we're research-based now. We're going out and we're finding information to kind of support us and purchases that we're thinking and stuff like that. So brands have to understand that through content, they have to support that train of thought until consumers get to their purchase.
Mm-hmm.
Totally. And the concept of a journey also allows brands to kind of utilize different content mediums to kind of get different customers. So some customers are going to be much more intrigued by video content than someone who actually prefers to read a full article on maybe like the technical aspects of a platform versus someone that just wants a punchy video that's saying, hey, do you have this platform? We'll go with ours because this is why you should kind of thing.
So definitely
the journey kind of allows them to pique interest at different stages of the buying journey with different kinds of content. And some people, and it all goes back to the learning phase too. Some people learn better by reading. Some people learn better by listening. So some are going to attain more information from a podcast. Some are going to get more information from a webinar. Yeah. Some people are going to really appreciate a vendor that they like appearing in a third-party study. So these are all different types of content touch points that people can utilize throughout a journey. I think also, you really have to think about kind of building momentum through a journey as well. And something, you have to think about every different stage, and you can strategize it all at once, or you can think about your journey in stages or phases. Yeah. So you can have like the first, it's like funnels, right? You think about bringing that into a content journey. What's going to work in the first stage? And first stage is going to be all about engagement. Second is going to be a lot about education. Third is really going to be nurturing to kind of finish the sales process. So
yeah.
I think the content journey is something that a lot of marketers know well because you're thinking about the funnel and kind of just putting that in the stages of what content is needed where to support the journey you want your customers to go through.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. And I like what you said about how different people are consuming content differently.
Yeah, absolutely.
So with that, you also have to remember like visually impaired people that are actually reading your content too and catering to that as well.
Yeah, exactly. Different types of content definitely allows you to, make your content accessible.
Yeah.
And not even the content, but just making your journey accessible.
Yeah.
So you have to think about that as well. And we talk a lot about accessibility on Seamless Connected.
Yeah,
so it's definitely something that I'm always happy to bring up.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. So Laura, what else besides engagement does the journey offer, do you think?
I think that the journey really represents a length of time that you have with your customer. And I think that most people, when they're thinking about, okay, I have time with my customer, what are you going to get from that? You're going to get insight from that. You're going to kind of understand the longer you have your customer's attention, the more that you can engage them and keep them coming back for more with your journey, the more you're going to understand their preferences. And you're going to understand, their consumption habits. And if, you have a certain persona that you're trying to target and your engagement really jacks up with a certain type of content, then you really know there's something about that really interests this particular person that we're trying to target.
Yeah.
But I think the best thing is when you're strategizing your content strategy, you have to think about what it is, but you also have to think about measurement. And you have to, it's what Allison mentioned last time in our last podcast, and it really, you have to think about the measurement of each phase. And when you sort out your sort of wireframe from the content journey, you also have to associate with what are the various KPIs of each content that's going to represent if it's being useful or if you're kind of meeting your goals with that. And I think, again, it seems very basic, but I think it's something a lot of people don't think about.
Yeah.
You know, they're not thinking about how to really understand and then figuring out what that data is good for. You know, like, what can you do with the data? Can you kind of take it and think when you're developing, like I mentioned before, if you have the phases, are you going to have phase one? Then you're going to take all the data from phase one and it's help you going to associate where phase two should go. And then where phase two data gets you, where are you going to pivot to phase three? Phase three might look very different from where you started. And I think that it's also kind of testing head to head these strategies of let's develop the strategy right away, all phases, and just deploy it. Or let's start with one test, go to two tests, go to three tests and see, you know, the amount of leads you have at the end, kind of which works better.
Definitely. Yeah, I agree. I like those points that you made. I also agree with what you said about like the data. So just because you're gathering the data doesn't really mean like, what are you doing with it? Use that as a guide to see, you know, how are they consuming it and what are they liking about it?
Well, and it's like, don't silo the data to the content journey either. Take it, see what else, what other parts of your like growth strategy or your revenue strategy can use that kind of data and insight too.
That's great. Good idea. So speaking of the length of a journey, how do you think your content journey can go beyond a desktop?
So yeah, I think the biggest thing that brands need to think about when they're strategizing their content journey is the devices that their customers are going to use to interact with their content. I know that before, you know, people are like, I got mobile, I got tablet, I got this, but that was like a decade ago, it feels like, because there's this massive influx of devices that people are going to be using and they're changing all the time, like how people are using voice and how people are using IoT and everything that IoT is going to bring into the stratosphere of devices that people are using to access content. Yeah. So brands really need to think about that when they're strategizing it. So like I said before, when you're thinking about your content message and your content type and your KPIs for that content, you also have to think about the devices that your customers are using to interact with that content.
Yeah.
It's going to be very different. It was like, this kind of came to mind when I was interviewing, when you were at Sitecore Symposium and I was talking to Dale Traxler from Rightpoint.
Right.
He brought up the issue with customer experience, especially in a commerce journey, was the devices.
Yeah.
You know, and how do people bring that experience to the modern era of how many devices we use. And as the device, the number of devices go up, that strategy is going to become much more complex, which I totally agree with. And when you think about it with the content journey, it's the different UIs that customers are using to interact with, like I started with, you know. So, I mean, we're going to chat with John about this later on, thinking about the devices, but then also how the technology supports the dissemination of that content to different devices.
Yeah.
Technology is a big part of this content journey equation. It's a point that I bring up with John, so we'll get to talk about that soon.
Awesome. Yeah. And I like what you said about the different devices, too, is that, you know, you want to also make sure that the devices, you know, look good, too, like on every, on like mobile, desktop, what you were saying. So, you know, just test your content. Just make sure you're testing it, make sure it looks good and...
Yeah, exactly. And I think especially with voice, it's kind of, it's like a different frontier for people because when you're thinking about that audio element and the voice you're using, you have to think about the emotional quality of that interaction.
Yeah.
You know, like I know that Siri has 1,005 voices, but there's very different voices that Siri can have. And I would say the majority of people have in that female voice because psychologically the female voice is more friendly and engaging.
Yeah.
You know, they have like, maybe some people like the Australian guy. I still prefer Siri to be a lady, but I appreciate that inclusiveness. But again, like there's so many different elements that people have to think about when creating the content. So it's definitely not going to get easier. It's going to get harder. But I think, you know, having the due diligence up front will help.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
So as we mentioned above, we have a special guest joining us today.
Yeah, we're going to talk to John Voigt. He's the co-founder and CEO at Agility. They're at a very exciting time right now, actually. They are a cloud platform that offers a full suite of integrated digital solutions like CMS, e-commerce, ticketing, personalization. But since I've known them, they've been headquartered in Toronto. And they recently just moved west and opened an office in Vancouver, which is cool. And then they're kind of, they have this excitement coming in early 2019 that they're doing a bit of like a rebrand of the whole company, which is exciting.
Cool.
One of the first things they did outside of opening the new office is they actually had like in part of the massive transformation they're going through is they chose to sell their entire professional services division in an effort to focus exclusively on their cloud platform and the development and kind of working with kind of making it the best that it can be. So that's pretty cool.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, that's very exciting. So I'm eagerly awaiting to see their new launch in in early 2019, but I'm really excited to talk to John about our topic today because he's really knowledgeable in terms of, I remember the first time I talked to him, he's very focused on content and how content really plays into the whole digital business strategy. Mm-hmm. So I think talking to him is going to be wonderful.
Yeah, he'll give some great points.
So. Yeah, definitely.
So yeah, we're excited to talk to John, and we're going to be discussing the important stages in the customer journey, mm-hmm. The role of technology in supporting a content journey, and the emerging technologies or trends, and what he thinks will disrupt the way brands strategize their content in relation to the customer's journey as well. So that'll be great.
Perfect. Hi, John. How are you doing today?
I'm great. How's it going with you?
Things are fantastic, thank you. Now, we know content journeys are really put in place to support the buyer's journey. So when thinking about how content supports that customer journey, is there a stage you feel is more important to focus on?
Yeah, for sure. So definitely when you're thinking about the entire journey, there has to be lots of content that has to go through all those little steps. And the most important to me is the very beginning content. You know, it sets the tone of how you're going to communicate. It starts to show whether you're bringing value. It shows your brand approach, whether it's aggressive, whether it's subtle. And if you lose your customers or anyone in that buying journey early on, you can never get them back. So the longer they're within the journey, the more data you can collect, the more A/B testing and different things you can do. And you can really hone and adjust your conversion rates and things to that journey. So by far, it's the first few steps or even the very first one. And you have to make sure that one really captures them and aligns with them.
Yeah, absolutely. I think businesses can often focus too much on how to move a customer through the journey without thinking enough about making them engage in the very first stage. Mm-hmm. So to shift gears, what is your opinion on the role of technology in supporting a customer journey?
Okay. So if you think about the journey historically, and even now, you know, content and value that you're bringing through that journey is key. If your content's not great, people aren't going to continue through the journey. They're not going to go from step to step or take different steps throughout that journey. But at the same time, technology is starting to affect how we deliver it, and it's starting to affect how we analyze it. So first off, our ability to track the status of how and the results of how people are going through our journey is tenfold to what it used to be. We have these marketing automation platforms and even just the email platforms we're using can tell you, you know, this person went to this step and then they stopped here and they went here and they did this. And where did they come from originally? So maybe one journey works for a certain type of person and another journey works for a different type of person. So technology has given us the visibility on the alignment between our content, our journey, and the consumer of that journey. And the second part of that, which is related to processing more data, is the AI side of things. So AI is becoming huge in marketing automation and even ad generation and all these marketing tools, mainly because us as humans can only do so much processing without spending tons and tons of time, and things change so fast. You have to be on top of how you need to adjust your content, how you need to adjust the journey, different steps, more steps, less steps, however you need to get through that journey. And AI can adjust things on the fly. A lot of tools are starting to adjust the content on the fly dynamically, and then it'll pick, you know, which route's working the best. Okay, this is working better. Okay, we'll switch the other one off and focus on that one, and then the AI can then focus on the next step. So, you know, it's just starting to touch the surface on what AI can do and how the journeys can be adjusted, but I'm really excited about that kind of second thing. So, yeah, initially we can track, we can monitor, and second, on the second level, it's AI helping us do that and adjust as we go.
Yes, we know technology is already huge in supporting the content journey, but I agree, we're just kind of scratching the surface on how it can really kind of amp up the measurement and the deployment and kind of pick up the slack in the way that AI is best used for automation and intelligence, where us humans don't always have the capacity to manage all those things. So I definitely think the AI is going to step up to the plate to really help us in that regard. My next question focuses on if you think there's a component of the content journey you feel is unfortunately overlooked.
Yeah, so this is funny because, you know, I've run into this problem myself a number of times. It's the actual step of optimization. So people spend all this time like, oh, we have this onboarding journey or this, you know, next step of our offering journey or whatever it may be. And we spend all this time, we build a journey, we build our content, we build the endpoints of where that journey takes you. And we spend so much time on that. When we're done, we're like, oh, thank goodness, it's launched, it's done, it's ready. But the problem is you'll never hit it out of the park the first time, because there's so many factors in how it relates and connects with your engaged consumer or customer or whatever it may be, that you have to go back and optimize. You have to go back and look at, are people getting through the steps? Is the content still relevant today as it was 6 months ago? It changes all the time. You know, where are people getting stuck? Is it working really, really well? And maybe you just need to have another one that you A/B test between them to see if maybe it can get it even better. So I definitely think, you know, whether it's a component or just the overall how you make a journey successful, you have to spend more time in optimization. I actually think creating it should be a short amount of time. Get it out quick, get it going, start collecting data. And if you have AI, it can start absorbing things as well, and then spend way more time in optimizing. That really, you'll get better results.
That's really interesting. So what you're saying is people should backload the effort, spend less time on the front load with conception and creation, and spend more time in the second half optimizing and adjusting?
Yeah, exactly. And everyone wants to get everything so perfect before you launch things, you know, websites, articles, you know, I guess if you're doing print or, you know, swag, you got a one chance, right? So you have to put a little bit more upfront. But these things that are digital, you know, just get it out there, start absorbing the data, start learning what's working, and then change from there.
I definitely like that point. I think we can create all day long with the assumption of what customers are looking for, but it's best to pair with the actual data of how customers are interacting with content throughout the journey and adjust for the best results. My final question for you, John, touches on if you think there are any emerging technologies or trends you feel will disrupt the way brands strategize their content in relation to the customer's journey.
Yeah, and this kind of relates back to what I was saying before. I think one of the biggest trends is AI. And I actually think AI is going to be writing our content, you know, and maybe not our copywriting, our initial things, but like the big bulk parts of content, it can pull that together and adjust it and even change a paragraph or a section of our content, not the whole thing. So really tailor it to that customer. And then there's this whole concept of, you know, devices and how we're interacting with people with the content. So not only are the technologies emerging that are new types of ways to interact, like VR and augmented reality, all these things are changing the way we interact with our content and with the end consumer, but also the journey across all the channels. So, you know, you might be playing with someone on your phone doing some Christmas shopping, and then you may go on your desktop and do something. You know, that journey needs to be seamless, and it needs to feel like you're having the same experience. And it's not just the brand experience. It's, you know, I was at a certain step, or I am XYZ customer. How do you continue that on? And it's challenging because you don't know if it's the same person a lot of times, but devices and techniques and all these things are starting to come out where they can track you across devices, which is super scary, but also super awesome. So that when you walk into the next store, they're just like, oh, don't forget you were looking at this on our website last week. And you're like, oh yeah. You know, you might even get to the point where, you know, you have your own little shelf, you know, that's like waiting for you as you check out, because they know you came in the store. And when you check out, they put a few little things on a little screen right by the checkout. Be like, don't forget you were also looking at this. I'll throw it in my shopping basket, right? So it's all becoming connected, both digitally between devices and face-to-face in places that we go.
Well, that's an exciting thing to think about. That's all the questions I have for you, John. Thanks so much.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Thanks a lot. Have a great day.
That was such a great conversation. I loved what he had to say, especially about the about AI and how it's getting kind of creepy in a sense. Mm-hmm. Where, you know, it was funny. I was talking to one of my girlfriends over the weekend, and we're saying how we'll go out for dinner or something, and we'll talk about a certain topic, and then we'll go home, and then an ad will appear on Instagram about what we were talking about. So we're like, okay, that's kind of creepy.
Yeah,
interesting.
That's kind of how I think Venus one time talked about how personalization can get creepy, or personalization good until it gets creepy, and I think that's definitely the case.
Yeah, definitely.
One of the things that I realized just yesterday is I sometimes think in being in this field and understanding how intelligent technology can be, mm-hmm. I sometimes laugh at how unintelligent it can seem.
Yeah.
So, I mean, for example, yesterday I bought an electric toothbrush online. I hadn't expected to, but it came across a good sale. Someone had a good like discount code, and I kind of went for it. But then it was funny because later that night I got a sponsored post from another electric toothbrush company showing me their toothbrush.
Yeah.
And I was like,
see?
Okay, If you know I was interested in one, or you know I bought one, don't you think you should know I bought one? Like,
yeah,
it's not kind of something you need to buy five of. Like, people exactly. need one electric toothbrush. Yeah. Like, maybe if they have a family and get a couple, but they usually come with multiple heads. So it's kind of like, you know, it's like the case of, I mean, I remember when I was talking to Darren at Bloomreach, he kind of made the joke about how, you know, your digital marketing doesn't know that your e-commerce, through you bought something through e-commerce, your digital marketing doesn't know, and it's reminding you of ads for a product you already bought.
Yeah.
I sometimes think that that can be a problem with intelligence, where they just pick out like, oh, you talked about this, not thinking that you might have already bought it, so we're just going to reshare it.
Yeah.
Right.
Exactly.
So it seems a bit excessive at that point, but who knows, you know? Nothing's perfect. AI is not perfect, especially in the electric toothbrush market, but
definitely isn't.
Maybe it'll get there.
Well, thanks everyone. Thanks for tuning in, and we hope to see you soon.
Yeah, thanks.